Well, thank you everybody for coming. Welcome to Fridays. My name is Mark Saunders. I'm excited to teach tonight, and we appreciate everybody coming here. If this is your first time, we hope you're having a great time. If this is your, I don't know what it would be, 57th time for over a year, we're hoping you're having a great time. We're hoping everybody here is having a great time, is connecting with God, is enjoying the fellowship and the chance to talk and communicate. Welcome. Series called, the other thing, the question is, hey, look at that. Let's go back one. All right, we're in the middle of a series called The Road. And if you've been tracking with us through the series, what we're talking about is the Christian life. We're just talking about the fact that the Christian life, there are several challenging parts. And one thing that people focus on is, what is the goal? Where are we trying to go? What's the accomplishment of the Christian life? But really, that is not the hardest part of the Christian life. The hardest part of the Christian life is the journey. As you go, I want to get to there. And as you're on your way, you run into all these challenges and all these struggles. And so we're taking several weeks and we're picking a struggle at a time and saying, what would God say to us in this spot? You feel forgotten by God, when you feel abandoned, when you feel like there's this distance, this space between you and God. And this week, we're going to talk about, what does God say to you when you feel weary? The title of this message is The Road of the Weary. And to be weary just means feeling or showing tiredness, especially from excessive exertion. Right? You're not tired because you're sick. You're tired because you've been trying so very hard, and you're sort of getting worn out. Right? It's often the result of long-term effort. Right? You've been working at something for a while and for a while. These cross-country ski backpacking trips up to various huts and stuff, it was really pretty awesome. And one time on the way out, we were like 7 miles out from the trailhead, in deep powder on cross-country skis, my brother hurt his knee. And he couldn't walk, he couldn't do anything. And so we had to pull him out for 7 miles. And so we strapped him to a sled, a couple of us got in the harness, and we just plowed for hours getting him out of there. It was a ton of work. I don't know if I've ever been that tired in my life. I had this weird phenomenon. I had these bubbles afterwards on my forehead that, like, I had sweat trapped somehow in my skin. I could, like, pop them. It was like, I've never seen it before. It was so freaky and weird. But it was really hard. It was really, 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 really hard. But I wouldn't say I was weary, because I knew the whole time exactly where I was going. I knew where I had to get to. I knew roughly how long it was going to take. And so you'd take breaks, and you'd be like, oh, are we halfway there yet? Are we a quarter of the way? But you knew, okay, we're going to get there, and we're making steady, regular progress. It's not this short-term goal, it's this long-term goal. It's when we're pursuing something for years sometimes, and it can just feel like, am I making progress? Am I getting closer? Am I getting where I need to be? And we can feel like that without it having anything to do with the Christian life. In fact, I think in our culture, it's really easy to feel like that. Maybe in all cultures, it's easy to feel like that. In our culture, at least, one of the big things we do is that we talk about how busy we are. Right? If you ask somebody how they're doing, a lot of times they'll say, oh, I'm busy. Got a lot going on. And part of why we do that is because we measure our worth sometimes in our culture by how busy we are. We try to show, I'm super valuable. I have all these on my agenda, on my calendar. And so we pile up all these responsibilities in order to make ourselves feel important, in order to show that we're important. And it leads to a lot of weariness. It leads to a lot of anxiety. It leads to a lot of struggle. And so we can sort of start with a baseline where you can feel like, wow, there's a lot going on in life. And then you try to add the Christian life to that. And it can be difficult. You can feel like this. You're loaded up. You're not getting any traction because your feet aren't really on the ground anymore. If you approach it the wrong way, there can be a lot of struggle, right? Because we're going to work in our Christian lives. We're going to work for personal growth. We're going to try to become more and more like Jesus as we live for years. And so there's this constant effort to try to grow. I want to love selflessly. And so I want to sacrifice and give of myself and serve all the people around me, whether it's at work or home in my neighborhood. And so there's this constant sort of responsibility that I should be loving selflessly. I want to do it perpetually. Right? In my Christian life, my goal is not to do it for a week or for a month. Be a solid follower of Christ, a disciple for year after year after year after year for my whole life. And so it doesn't stop. It just keeps going. And we're told that we'll do it in easy times when everything seems nice and simple, and we'll do it when it's hard, when life is falling apart. We'll try to keep pushing forward. We're told that we'll have suffering, that it's not like the world is just going to simply say, okay, cool, you're trying to live for Christ. There will be hardship that comes specifically from being a Christian. And then we oftentimes have to do it silently, right? We don't get to beat our own drum and ask for all this praise, ask for all these people to really lift us up high. Instead, we silently serve, silently die to ourselves. And so it can be easy to feel sort of the weight of all this piling on top of us. And I think Paul understood this. This is probably not a picture of Paul, but he might have looked like that. Paul understood that the Christian life could be hard. Paul wrote a bunch of the New Testament, and he lived his Christian life. Once he started following Christ, he lived to the hilt. He was fully dedicated, doing everything he could to spread the gospel. But the consequences of that are pretty extreme. Right? In 2 Corinthians 11, he gives us a bit of an example. Christ, I am out of my mind to talk like this, but I am more. I have worked much harder, been imprisoned more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I have received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus ones. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was pelted with stones. 3 I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. It's a big list. Earlier in 2 Corinthians, in chapter 7, verse 5, he says, "For even when I came to Macedonia, our bodies had no rest. We were afflicted at every turn, fighting without and fear within." And so Paul lived this challenging picture of the Christian life. He was struggling for the churches. He was suffering personally. He was being persecuted. He was fighting his own thoughts and fears. And so I think when he was writing to the churches, he was writing where he stops and he says, don't grow weary in doing good. We'll look at Galatians 6 later. He also says it in 2 Thessalonians 3. He says similar things in a couple other places. He says, don't grow weary in doing good, because I think he understood that this is an easy place to end up. It's easy to take all the responsibilities we have in life and just internalize them and internalize them and internalize them until we feel beaten down. And I picture Paul as he went through all these things, as he went on these missionary journeys, as he went to the churches, as he was shipwrecked, as he was stoned. There were people there with him through a lot of these different elements. And I'm sure he saw I'm sure Paul recognized that he was struggling with that personally, and so he wanted to stop and say, we need to be careful that we don't grow weary. So how do we do that? Well, we're going to start tonight. We're going to start in Galatians 6, 7 through 10. We'll use this as a launching point, and then we'll look at several other passages as we go through the night as well. This is on page 975 in your Bible if you want to follow along, and I'll go ahead and read it out loud. Says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary in doing good. For in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of the faith. What's happening here is in Galatians, especially Galatians chapter 5 and chapter 6 up to this point, Paul has been laying out and exhorting the saints to live a strong Christian life, to stand firm, to be steadfast, to do all these different things. And he talks about what does living in the flesh looks like. And so there's a whole bunch of things you have to avoid. What does living in the spirit look like? And there's a whole bunch of things you need to do. And I can picture him thinking through, like, okay, I've laid all this out, but if somebody was really diligent and they were really trying to internalize every single one of these things, they'd run a risk. And the risk would be to say, it's too much. It's too challenging. It's too far. I've already done my own fair share. I've already done enough. They'd feel this sort of point where they'd go, I just can't. I can't live up to perfection because we can't. And so Paul stops and he says, let us not grow weary of doing good. Let us not grow weary. He knows to caution us because we might naturally go there. So I'm going to spend most of our time talking about why are we tempted to grow weary. And we'll look at various verses. We'll go back to Galatians. First one, I think, is because we maybe aren't really doing good, right? Just because I have an overloaded schedule, just because I have a million things going on, just because I'm tired, doesn't mean at all that I'm focused on the things God would have me focus on. It doesn't mean that I'm really pursuing godliness in my life, in my family. And so I have to stop, and I have to slow down, and I have to say, what am I sowing? What am I sowing into my life? Am I trying to seek my own glory? Am I trying to seek God's glory? Am I trying to work for myself? Or am I trying to work for God? And Colossians 3 says, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that, Colossians 3, 23 and 24, whatever you do, work heartily for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. And we have to stop. The very first thing we have to stop and say, okay, am I tired? Am I worn out? Am I growing weary? Because I'm doing a bunch of things that God wouldn't even have me do. A bunch of things. I'm sowing a bunch of fruit that isn't really what God wants me to sow. Maybe I'm not really working for good. The precursor to not giving up doing good is that we have to be doing good in the first place. So it's the first thing we have to look at. Secondly, maybe we're not resting. Right, it's true that there's lots of challenges in the Christian life, but it's also true that we're commanded to rest. We're commanded to take a Sabbath, to take a break from our work. We're commanded to get away and to pray and to process life and work things through with God. We're commanded to embrace sleep as coming from God. We're basically commanded to rest. What I normally do when I feel overwhelmed, when I feel weary, when I feel tired. Even at the end of the day, even if I've just been working for 15 hours or something and I'm tired, I can tend to not go to rest, not go to the right solution. I can go to distraction. I can watch movies or read books. I love reading books and I can get caught up in all these stories that are not my own. I know lots of people that listen to podcasts and sort of learn lots of really interesting stories about all the things that have gone on in life or follow the news obsessively, keep track of all the little details that are happening. Basically, we distract ourselves. We have this constant stream of inputs that keep. We can go to excessive comfort. Lots of people pursue overeating, trying to comfort themselves. They can focus on sex. Even in marriage, you can just sort of make that your goal. You can obsess on fitness, obsess about sports. You can pursue alcohol and drugs, just seeking some sort of comfort. Keep you distracted from all the craziness that's going on. And they're all just coping mechanisms, right? They're all just coping mechanisms because we need rest, but we don't pursue it. I think about my kids. This happens with my kids all the time. My kids will come to me and they'll say, exactly what you should do when you're tired. You should sleep. This is brilliant. And they'll go, no, no, never mind. I'm not tired. I'm fine. They like never will accept that as an answer. But as an adult, as a parent, I can look at them and I know exactly what they should do. And then I turn around and I can't follow my own advice. As an adult, I say, oh man, I'm just tired. And I feel like God would say, oh great, you should rest, you should sleep. And I go, hold on, no, I'm fine. I just have to watch all the Godfather movies back to back, and then I will go to sleep. It's ridiculous, but I do it all the time. It is hard for us to rest, but we need to do it. And it's a big reason why we can be weary. Psalm 127:2, it's a great verse, says, in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil. It's in vain. You're doing all this work as if it all depends on you. For he gives his beloved sleep. Other versions say, for God grants sleep to those he loves. We need to recognize it's a blessing from God and pursue it. Third thing. Oh, look, there's a picture. Third thing, we're not including God. Oftentimes, I think we include God as we live our life. We can try to just shoulder everything ourselves. And it can be overwhelming. Isaiah 40:31 says, but they who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. But they're waiting on the Lord. They're bringing God into their life. Or Matthew 11:28-30 says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. God is promising, if you come to me, if you bring me in, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. But it's hard to think, okay, well, how do I include God? How do I bring him in? And honestly, there's different things that work for different people. We have to, it's a practice we have to build. But for me, one of the big things is prayer walks. And I am good at it at some times in my life and bad at it other times in life. But I've recognized that I do a lot better in life when I'm regularly praying and walking and praying and talking through my life with God. When I, this is everything that's going on. These are the things that I'm worried about. These are the things that I'm struggling with. These are my friends that are struggling. Because I have all these things I feel like I have some responsibility for, and I need direction and guidance, and sometimes I just need help. But what's interesting in my life is I can feel my burdens lift as I pray and as I walk. Because I get clarity and direction sometimes. Right? Sometimes I don't know what to do, and I'll pray through it, and sometimes I'll go, oh, I feel like this is what God wants me to do. And that's very freeing. I don't have to wrestle anymore. Sometimes I get clarity and direction, and it's just stuff I don't even have to worry about. Like, don't pursue that. That is even better. One less thing to worry about. But honestly, I think a big thing to God. There are lots of things that I care very deeply about that I have very little control on. Right? I can pray and ask God for my kids to be healthy and happy and well-functioning adults, and I am going to have a big role in that. But on a day-to-day basis, it can be overwhelming to try to own that myself, to be like, I'm just going to make this happen this Tuesday, and then it'll be done. It's just not the way it works. And so I have to pray, and I have to give it to God. What do I have to do today? And then give everything else over. And it's very, very freeing. My wife does a lot of listening to worship music and worshiping God, because it's a way to bring him in and feel close to him. We all have different ways, but we have to include God, or else we start trying to carry everything ourselves, and we get very, very overloaded. A couple more. Sometimes I think we're looking for a reward from some source other than God. In Galatians 6, verses 7 and 8, it tells us very clearly that we will reap what we sow. And so we have to stop and think, what does that mean? Right? It's really a simple. And all it means is the biggest contributing factor to what comes out of something being planted is what you planted in the first place. If I plant a bunch of seeds for sunflowers, no matter how much work and effort and energy and time I spend, they will not create tomatoes. If I plant tomatoes, no matter how much work and effort I spend, they won't create pumpkins. I can put work and effort in and make better pumpkins or better tomatoes or more glorious sunflowers. But the biggest contributor is what I planted in the first place. That is all I'm going to be able to get out. But sometimes I think in our Christian lives, or at least in my Christian life, I can start by trying to walk with God. And I can have this vision of I'm going to and I work really hard to plan all these really amazing things, but then I can get tired of waiting because God is not always very quick to respond to my prayers. That's okay. It's his prerogative. But I get tired of waiting, and I can think, well, I just want some fruit now. I don't want the fruit God's going to give me. I want fruit from some other source. Right? When you get in that state, it's easy to start pointing out to people all the cool stuff you're doing or comparing yourself to others or generally just trying to make something happen so you'll be noticed, so you'll see some fruit, so somebody will say, well done, you're doing awesome. But we're not going to get that fruit if what we were trying to start with and get the fruit we expected. We need to wait for God to bring it to us. And when we start looking for it from other sources, we don't get what we want. The inverse, of course, is true as well. If you plant selfishness and sinfulness, you're also not going to reap holy, righteous, spiritual fruit. And so we have to just be careful. We have to wait on God. God will not be mocked, it says. We will get what we plant, whether it's good or it's bad. We have to trust and wait for God to give us the fruit, not look for some other source. Revelations 2:3. And bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. That he sees you are enduring patiently. You are bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. It's a cool picture. All right, and the last one, maybe the most important one. We expect the road to be easy. Sometimes when I read Do Not Be Weary, I can think in my, I don't know, blog reading Christian mind that what the Bible is going to say is it's going to say, don't be weary. Instead, think about the things that are truly holy and righteous. Try to bring glory to God. And all everything will become simple. And that is not what the Bible says. It's fascinating. It says, do not grow weary, because in time you will reap. It doesn't promise that it'll be easy. And I think a lot of times we can think that if I'm following Christ, if I'm working hard, the road is going to get easy before me. And then when it's not easy, we wonder what we're supposed to do. D.L. Moody was once asked if he got tired in the work, because he was working hard for the gospel, working hard for God. And I love his response. He just said, sometimes I get tired in the work, but I never get tired of the work. Right? I can have a day where I'm tired at the end of it, but I want to keep doing good. I want to keep working for it. So why do we think this? Why do we expect the road to be easy? Let's start with a verse that says the road won't be easy. Matthew 7:13-14 says the following. It says, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. The gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. That's not how I at least normally think about my Christian life. I've got an all-powerful God. Surely he'll make it all smooth and easy before me. But that's not what that verse says. But then you get to Matthew 11, and it says, we read this already, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And that is much more the message I want to hear, and so I can sort of auger in on that and think, okay, it's easy, the yoke is easy, the burden is light, that's where my focus is going to be. Both of these things are true, right? The simple phrase is we have a light burden on a hard road. And it's important to have both be true. You have to make your burden in the Christian life light. And by that I mean the things you feel responsible for, the things you're carrying around, the things that you feel like you have to accomplish, you have to make it light by bringing God in and by understanding what God wants from you. We do have a light burden. None of us, if you believe in Christ, none of us are responsible for our salvation. None of us are responsible to earn our way to God, to prove that we're worthy, to be good enough. None of us should be weighed down with guilt and shame, wondering what God thinks about us. Does he care when I make my mistakes, when I screw up? Does that change what God thinks of me in an eternal sense? We get to share a yoke with Jesus. It is interesting. He doesn't say he'll take our yoke, right? So I can't make my goal to be the richest man on earth. Jesus doesn't say, I am an eternal being. I'm going to come and join you in that, and you'll be successful. No, but he says, if I join him, his yoke will be easy. A yoke is just a machine back in the day. I don't know, a machine, a tool that joined two horses or two oxen together so they could pull more than they could do by themselves. And if I join with Jesus, it's an easy yoke with a light burden. That really is the message of the gospel, that we, instead of having to bear all these big, heavy burdens, trying, we could turn it all over to God who died for our sins so that we could have a light, easy burden. But we do have a hard road. There are plenty of hard things. Then we get confused when it's hard. But there are plenty of hard roads in life that are super fun. I've climbed 14ers, I've done backpacking trips, I've done snow caving trips, I've done all sorts of things that when I know it's going to be hard and I plan for it and I'm ready, it can be great. It doesn't mean it's not fun, it doesn't mean it's not enjoyable, it just doesn't mean it's not easy. But I can take my light burden and I can go down a hard road and accomplish a lot. I think we tend to get these mixed up, we tend to get them backwards. Right? In our flesh, we can think we have a heavy burden. We can try to own everything ourselves. We can think, I'm responsible for bringing about change in the world, for affecting my friends, for affecting my way to God. I'm responsible for overcoming my sins. I'm responsible. We can pile on this burden. And that just leads to weariness. It just leads to burnout. It leads to giving up. And then we do the inverse. We think, oh, but the road will be easy, so it won't be that bad. And then you start walking down the road, and you get hit around a few times, and you think, the road is hard. I don't understand. I've misled myself. So we have to keep it in the right perspective, that we have a light burden on a hard road. And Jesus is our example. We are following him. And he had a very hard road. As he was going to the cross, it says this in Luke 22. He withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And there appeared to him an angel from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down on the ground. He was struggling, knowing the hard road he had in front of him. Hebrews 12 says, consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted. Walk a really hard road, partially to lighten our burden, partially to pay for our salvation, but partially also to give us this example. And he's willing, if we join with him in his yoke, to walk with us right now. So we need to walk that road with God. We need to bring God into our life. We need to bring God in. We need to have a light burden. And if you feel overwhelmed, overburdened with all the things you're responsible for, we do have to pray about that and go, God, you said your burden would be light. What am I holding on to? What am I doing that's making my burden excessive? But then we also need to recognize that the road is going to be hard, that there will be trials, there will be challenges. There can be lots of fun on the way, but it's still a hard road. In the end, we need to follow the verse. We need to not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. That it's possible to just recognize where we're at and not grow weary and recognize that God is going to reward us. It'll have a huge effect. So let me pray. God, I do just thank you. I thank you for every person here. God, I thank you that in amazing ways, every person here is God, they're trying to learn more about you. They're trying to ask for you to change their life. They're trying to ask for your help. I pray that you'd help them to have light burdens. God, I pray that you'd help them to bring them in to their life, to their challenges, to their struggles, and they could share the load with you. And God, I pray that they would then, God, be able to walk successfully a hard road of life. God, I pray it would be a road of joy. God, it'd be a hard road, but full of joy. I pray it'd be a road of laughing and singing and dancing. God, there'd be a whole bunch of great things on the road. But I pray you'd help us to persistently walk it. Pray for your blessing tonight.